everyone, and welcome to episode 15 of Three is Company. We are still here talking about Lord of the Rings, the card game. It's been a weird couple months. I'm sitting here in coronavirus mode, eating ice cream out of the carton and drinking whiskey in my pajamas, talking about a game with my friends. How are you guys, Ryan and Liam?
Yes, I'm good. I am drinking peppermint tea and still in my duvet.
I am not under a duvet. I'm just in my chair.
You're
drinking water.
Space chair.
Yeah, I'll call it that. Sounds cool.
Been serving you well?
Yeah, it's much better than my previous one, which was killing my back.
Lots been happening in the world last couple of months. How has your gaming life, gaming world been?
Well, I'll give you a quick summary. I haven't had a game in life. Because I've been too busy living the game of life.
What about that great game of Darwinian we did?
Well, we tried to record one video and it was an epic fail because I think Octagon crushed.
Yeah. We tried to set it back up and it took too long. And then it was 4 a.m. and it was set. But you're working on getting residency in Australia, is that right?
Yeah, sorry, I was distracted there. Yes, I am trying to, and you have to jump through all kinds of hurdles that I've already regaled you both with the tales of all of that. So I hope next time we record, which might be in another month, I'll have some good news like, yeah, I've completed the first task. And I also have to take an English test. I already said that to you both, but everybody else should know. I'm so indignant about having to prove the fact that I can speak English to these Aussies. Yeah, I know. Oh, dear. It's funny. You never imagine you'd be doing an English test. I never imagined I would. Funny where life leads you, you know? One minute you're having Snickers ice cream, the next minute you're taking the PTE academic in the middle of a pandemic. What about you? You been gaming much?
I've got some online gaming in. We did all that fun stuff with the Cardboard of the Rings group a couple months ago, or six weeks ago. Not a lot of Lord of the Rings, though. I've missed my games with you. I played a little bit on Octagon myself, but I've been distracted by other things. I did get to play War of the Ring yesterday. Have you guys heard of that game?
Didn't we play that once, Liam, with Steve?
Is that the one where you have like a little like army? Is it that one?
It's miniatures all over the board, yeah.
Yeah. I think we did play that with Steve, I think. Yeah. And there's like a full like map of Middle Earth.
Yeah, you got your fellowship with your corruption track. You're trying to sneak it to Mordor. You got different strongholds. You have limited supply of free people troops, but you have just unlimited hordes of bad guys trying to take out the strongholds before you melt the ring down. I got Gandalf to go down to Helm's Deep and boost up Rohan to withstand Saruman. Actually,
you're still trying then.
Yep. Trying to make Rohan work. I did. Theoden came unexpected from Edoras and crushed all of Saruman's army. Boromir went down to Gondor, but Gondor wasn't able to muster any troops before Mordor attacked, so they were crushed. Imrahil was crushed. All of Gondor taken. But the Fellowship snuck all the way into Mordor without ever being seen by the Nazgul or anything. But then, member by member, started to be corrupted and die after fighting for the ring. So Aragorn died, Gimli died, Legolas died, Pippin popped off and just wandered around in Minas Morgul till the end of the game, and then got to the very crack of doom, and Merry betrayed us and stole the ring, and everything. I lost.
Oh. Sounds epic.
It's a pretty epic game. It's a long one, and the rules are a little clunky and a little old at this point, but the story it tells and the epic scale of it is unmatched in Lord of the Rings games. It's pretty amazing. I have the collector's edition with painted miniatures and oversized maps and then 3D mountains all over. It's pretty fun.
Oh. Wait, have you got the one where the miniatures came painted?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really rare one, isn't it? That's like...
Yeah, there's a limited run of it.
Yeah, I did have a look at that.
Yeah, but getting some other online gaming in. But I missed my Lord of the Rings group. We haven't met for a long time now. I got together with one of my friends to play that War of the Ring, but that's the first in-person gaming I've done in a long time. But I've been playing a few games Octagon by myself, trying to test out some of these new cards, and Lord of the Rings will continue. Also, got snagged by a computer game that's been eating up my gaming time and my sleep time. It's called This Land Is My Land. You play as a Native American trying to drive out the settlers from your land, take down forts and trading posts. And it's still early development in Steam, so it's a little clunky, but it's quite addictive trying to manage all your Indian settlements and sneak around and not get seen by the people with guns. And a huge game. Kept me up till 3 o'clock too many nights this week. There's been some big news in the Lord of the Rings world this last month. Have you guys been keeping up to date?
Was it that the cast got back together to read lines while they were in lockdown?
That wasn't the news I was thinking of, but that's probably bigger news in the Lord of the Rings world. But I was thinking the spoilers from the last pack, which we won't discuss in specifics here. But yeah, did you see that on the reading lines thing? I didn't actually watch it yet.
Yeah, I well, it was more of a, they did a big Zoom call and there was a little clip of it on Twitter. That's all I saw.
Okay.
It's good to know that Aragorn has been in self-isolation, isn't it? That's the main thing I learned. Say no more. Say no more about anything. Anybody who knows what I'm talking about will get it, and anybody else can remain blissfully unaware. Yeah.
All right. Apparently Andy Serkis did a entire Hobbit read through in one sitting too. You guys get in on that?
Yeah, I did see that. I wanted to listen to that actually. I haven't. Yeah, I bet he reads it pretty well.
It's gonna be fun.
He did the voice as well, but he tended to stumble a lot while reading the book, I noticed.
I don't mean to criticize.
Sorry, it sounded critical. It's not what I meant. I think he probably did it off the cuff, you know? It's not like he practiced. Just sat down, read it. Job done.
Do you reckon you'll have to read The Hobbit in one sitting as part of your English test for...
I wish it was that easy, actually. I'd be glad to do that. I'd even do the voices. Happily do the voices, because we could do all the farmer hobbits and things. Well, not, I think they're in Lord of the Rings more so, actually, the first book. But
plenty of hobbits at the beginning of The Hobbit.
Okay. Yeah, and well, no, I have to listen to people read out sentences in funny accents and type them out word for word and fill in the blanks and summarize an article. If it turns out to be a Lord of the Rings excerpt, that would be great.
But you haven't even read Lord of the Rings, have you?
Not all the way through, now. So it'd be a nice chance to do it.
It's true.
Read about this card game. Imagine that. There's a little known card game based on the Lord of the Rings. Yes! That's the pass.
Well, today we have the Under the Ash Mountains card review on our menu. I haven't got my copy yet. They shipped it, I think, but it hasn't reached me yet. So I haven't got to play many of these cards except for an Octagon yet. But we're going to start with that. And then Liam has a special Riddles in the Dark episode for us, or a segment for us after that.
Mm.
But this should be a snappy 2-hour episode, really, really short this time.
Well, you're on 12 minutes already, and some of that was Liam's cat needing to be fed.
But we're already done with the whole intro and that.
Yeah, that's record time, because normally they're 30 minutes.
Yeah, because we haven't played any games, actually.
Yeah, everybody's been too busy.
All right, on to these cards here. Under the Ash Mountains, this hero has been spoiled for, what, year and a half, 2 years now? And I've been using it. Gildor and Glorion is our first card. So not a surprise to pretty much anybody at this point. He was in the two-player starter that was in the Collector's Edition, which I think is still available for a discounted rate on Fantasy Flight's website if anyone's interested. Gildoran Glorian is a 9 threat cost leadership hero with 3 willpower, 2 attack, 1 defense, and 3 hit points. Noldor a noble, and he has an action. Pay 1 resource from Gildor and Glorian's resource pool to choose a player to draw 1 card. Limit once per round. He's been out for 1.5 years. Have you guys used him?
I don't think I have, actually. I might have done. I've seen him played enough, though, to know what he's like.
No, I haven't played with him. He seems pretty straightforward, though.
Yep. He was, when he came out, he's very underwhelming. I think this was the sort of impression that people had, because it just seems so bland. Right. But actually, he's a really nice... would you call this a glue hero? Is that the right term for a hero like this? Just solid willpower, useful action.
Cheap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Low threat to willpower ratio is really good. And it's kind of expensive. 1 resource for a card, but it's always there. And hopefully if you're in leadership, you have a few extra resources coming in. Yeah. And it's really flexible. It can be handed around the table.
Often those leadership decks don't have a lot of draw options either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been using this guy in a mono leadership deck that I really, really like. And it even really makes it work. If you get Steward out, then you're basically getting an extra card and a resource every turn. And that's pretty much what you need to make a deck run.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not flashy, but I like him a lot.
Yes, yeah, it's strange reviewing a hero who's been out so long.
Yeah.
I guess my question would be, you know, it's sort of already established and people kind of know that he's decent by now. But what kind of decks have you used him in? Because I think you've probably used him the most. I'm not sure I've actually played with him, to be honest, because I don't have that starter set. I may have used him on Octagon. I don't remember. But I know you've used him a lot. So where does he work?
Main place I really love him in is that model leadership deck that runs... Aragorn, this guy, and Birkenbrand, Defender, Quester, Attacker. A lot of resources, big allies, lots of Gandalfs over and over and over again. And that just keeps the card draw flowing. That's my favorite place that I've used him, favorite deck I've made with him. He also is pretty decent in a Gondor deck. So like Boromir, Denethor, and this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Basic Gondor strategy. So it's instead of Aristor with lore, you can do this and get your mono leadership for strength of arms, etc. And it brings your threat down by 1 point, willpower up, a little more use for events without Aristor.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other deck I've used him in was a kind of a wonky Grim Beorn, the old deck. And it was to get Grim Beorn's all set up. But I wanted leadership, card draw, willpower. It was for multiplayer campaign games. He's just not bad. I think I didn't have lore, so it was a little extra draw.
100 times better than the Rod of the Steward, right?
Yeah, he's more efficient than Rod of the Steward, and you don't have to draw him, so... It's kind of one of the best Gondor heroes for Gondor, right?
Gondor and Gloria.
That's right.
Does he work in a Noldor deck?
I don't think so. Noldor and leadership have a strange relationship. There isn't very many... cards. There's one of the brothers. He's leadership, but he has to go tactics version. And then that's there's
next as it goes.
There's a sentinel guy. There's ally Aristor. But for me, Noldor is just entrenched in leadership, in spirit and lore so well. I'm not tempted to try to make him force him into a Noldor archetype. But with him and Arwen, there's some interesting interactions. You can drop a resource on him and then draw a card, and then pay a resource from Arwen to Elven Light cards back into your hand. So there's a lot of card manipulation you can do between the two of them, which it's possibilities there. But I have to comb over the leadership cards to make sure it's worth it.
I don't think anybody plays that defender, do they? The leadership defendee person.
Yeah, what's that guy called?
I actually don't remember. Warden of the Havens?
That sounds right.
Ooh. I haven't played this for 6 months. I still remember that random purple ally that I've never played.
You get points for that. Yeah, he's not bad. He can be 3 defense if there's attachment on top of your discard pile with 3 hit points, and he's warrior, so you can put stuff on him for only 2 cost. But
nobody ever plays him.
Nobody ever plays him. But maybe I'll have to try it. Arwen, Gildor, and Curidan. It's a lot of card fiddly.
Yeah.
I'd try that. Spirit leadership. And then the ring, Narya, could help you smooth out your spheres leadership.
You got any thoughts on this guy, Liam, having not played with him at all?
He seems like, as you guys said, pretty straightforward, pretty basic. He's a little bit disappointing that with so few heroes left, that the ability for one of them is to pay a resource or card. But I can see it being like a pretty solid like support hero in certain decks. I gotta be honest, this is probably not the first hero that I would pick out of a binder unless there was a very specific reason to do it. Like you mentioned, obviously, like card draw for Gondor is a pretty good reason to use him, maybe. Or if you're just looking for a bit of card draw. But I don't know. I feel like there's probably easier, probably better ways to get card draw. 3 willpower is good. I'd like to see that. 2 attack is all right, I guess, if you need it in a pinch, but you're going to be questing with him most of the time.
Yeah. He can take the place of Sam Gamgee as that high willpower, decent threat hero in leadership.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't have a good number of 3 willpower heroes, to be honest. I think they've only got 2, haven't they?
I think so. Sam and him, right?
Mm.
A lot more 1 willpower.
Yeah. This is a surprise that this isn't an ability that's already been on a hero. Do you know what I mean? Like years ago, like it's such a straightforward and easy ability. It's like, it's a bit, so if that's the ratio, 1 resource for 1 card draw, then you think that would have already happened. Or it would be like, you know, part of an ability, like another thing that he did.
I have a friend who built, one of the guys in my group, who built a kind of a Santa Claus deck that just gives out goodies all the time. And it has Gildor and Theodred. I forget the 3rd hero, but it's just all leadership, handing out stuff to everybody every turn. It doesn't do a lot in it of itself, but it helps everyone else's deck work. And it actually makes a big difference in a game.
That's always fun. Mm-hmm. I like stuff like that.
Who wants resources? Who wants a card? Who wants parting gifts?
Well, the artwork's very nice as well. So, well, it's a good looking card.
Actually, I was going to complain about the color palette there. It feels like he needs really? Some wardrobe advice. All those colors together looks like a homeless man.
He's not very color coordinated, admittedly. No, the towers look cool, though. And. Maybe, I think it's the scarf. We should lose the snood. We need to get something else in there.
Well, that scarf in the middle that's coming down is kind of like a rusty pinky color. It's really bad. I would never paint that. I would never choose those colors together on a figure. The other guy in my group was expecting to get a hero with the stats of the ally. This guy actually has less stats than the Gildor ally, which is unusual. Very really? Unusual. Usually the hero has at least 1 more stat than the ally version. Yeah, actually, this guy has 2 less stats. The ally is 3-2-3-3. And this guy's 3-2-1-3. But that would put him at 11 threat, too. So I'm not complaining, but it is probably a unique thing in the game to have the ally have more stats than the hero.
It's a fun little trivia question.
Yeah.
I do kind of feel like there are so many ways to get like a little bit of card draw these days that do you really need it on your hero?
Just having it from turn one is kind of a big deal, though.
Yeah, not having to find your card draw is very good.
Sometimes but... trying to, if you can't find your card draw, you can't draw the cards to get the card draw. And it's kind of a...
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I guess. Although having card draw from turn one, I think, is slightly less important than certain other things that you might need, because there's not many decks that are vomiting their entire hand on turn one. There are some, yeah. But you know, I mean, like if you got that card draw, if you picked it up turn two, three, whatever,
that's
it's probably not the end of the world.
But he also provides that early willpower, which is probably the other most important thing in the game. So that's not bad.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, drawing cards and questing well are probably two of the, you know, as you said, two of the most important things to do, and to do them early right off the bat is not insignificant.
He has two attack too, which is, if you get any readying on him, it's not insignificant.
Limit once per round. Would you have seen that a bit higher?
I was expecting it, the once per round. I mean, actually, I wasn't surprised. I wasn't expecting it because I didn't see the card until I saw it.
I fully expected this.
Everything is limit once per round nowadays.
Sometimes you get three.
But yeah, it makes sense. Otherwise, it gets abused a little bit. I think the cost is high enough. It probably wouldn't have been broken at two. But one is fine, I think. When I play, it's funny. Should I play this card? I try to draw a card that I might need more. And then I play the price, and then I draw a card. And it's not what I want. And then I wish I hadn't. I wish I had played the card that I could have played with a resource. So he's kind of saying no and yes at the same time, like elves do. Should you play this or look for something else to play, or just screw yourself?
So play the cards in your hand. That's the lesson there.
Yeah.
Grass
but,
green.
But you never know what you're going to draw, though. You never know what you're going to draw. it could be a boat.
from the Great Havens.
There's a hidden part of this hero, then. The fun factor.
Yeah, well, the frustration factor.
Do not underestimate that, yeah.
Yeah. Drawing cards is always fun.
Anything else to say about this guy?
I'm surprised we managed to say things for as long as we have, to be honest.
About the most vanilla ability in the book.
Well, we were saying earlier we do like vanilla ice cream.
That's yeah.
Right. I am craving it. I'm wondering how quickly we can get through this review so I can get some. I might slip off sneakily in the middle of a card review and see if you can discover when I'm eating the ice cream.
Let's move on to Wandering Exile. Who has this guy? Girl?
You, apparently.
Me?
According to the sheet.
I stole the first one, didn't I? What a jerk. I'll redistribute. Will you? Go ahead, Ryan.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Leo. I stole your card. Yourself.
Jerk. Yourself all over the schedule. Okay, so this is Wandering Exile. I feel like I should be practicing for my English test. I'm reading out things. I'm going to start again.
Enunciate.
Yeah. The Wandering Exile. Okay, I'm going to start this again. Okay, this is Wandering Exile. It is a 3-cost leadership ally, 2 willpower, 2 attack, 0 defense, and 2 hit points. Noldor traded and response. After Wandering Exile commits to the quest, discard a card from your hand to ready Wandering Exile. So I think this is quite solid. I remember when this got spoiled, I was like, oh, I quite like this card. I guess what will put people off is the 3-cost, I feel. Well, that's not such a huge deal in Noldor, considering that they've got the easy reduction from To the Sea to the Sea. But I feel like our resident Noldor god here will come in and tell me how bad this is soon. I quite like it, though, to be honest. If you've got a fistful of cards, you can get a nice 2 willpower, 2 attack quester. And maybe, if you're on a Lords of the Eldar turn, a 3-3. Am I wrong, Joseph?
Like I said, I haven't played a lot of leadership or considered it, but Noldor seems to be low on attack, if anything.
Hmm.
And this lady has attack, so I'm actually pretty excited.
She's not the most martial-looking lady. Not to.
No, how does she have two attack? I don't know.
She doesn't have a weapon. I'm she just wondering what her plan is. Stunning
the two attack possibly? Doesn't seem to match the art, but I'm excited nonetheless.
Yeah, yeah. Perhaps there's a huge club under that skirt.
Could be hidden in her sleeve, for all we know.
Yeah, those sleeves look pretty vicious if you were to swing those around. Like proper, like, sort of like towel to people. Richard sleeves. That would be such an uncomfortable thing to walk in.
Steel woven into the sleeves. There.
Just like looking around, it does look like a, it does look a bit sort of like stock art, doesn't it? In terms of, like, it's a great picture, but it doesn't really fit the card at all. It's kind of like, oh, we've got an elf picture over here. It's an exile, so it can be anything.
It's like Descendant of Girion all over again.
She's more attractive than that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I like it. It's a choice every single turn, so you get to make that. If you need attack, you can do it. If you don't, she is a good quester. 3 for 2 is not terrible in leadership. And if you're reducing that with to the sea, very reasonable. 2 hit points. Six stats for 3 hit points,
nice. And it's nice that her ready and ability is you know, something that you're already probably looking to do with Noldor anyway. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I was going to wonder, is what would it be like to have all three of these out at one time? You get a lot of, what's that phrase Buzz uses, like density from this? You know, you can have a two quester to attack, but it's going to cost you, well, cost you sort of in an order deck, but 3 cards of a turn. So all those other allies you could be playing, you're discarding them instead.
If you had all 3 Elven Lights in hand, and you have Steward of Gondor, which is in leadership, on Círdan or Spirit Hero, you can play all Elven Lights every turn, and then discard them all to these ladies, and then draw them all back. You'd be using all your resources, but you would have so much card draw. And be questing for 6 and attacking for 6. I mean, it's hard to get all 6 of those cards and play at once, 7 of those cards and play at once, but...
Yeah, you're probably already dominating by that point.
But you get the choice every turn for every single copy you have in play, so...
Yeah, you don't have to, do you? It's a nice bit of strategy there. Hold a card back, maybe.
Yeah, I'm going to have to explore this leadership in Noldor. It's so hard to leave Airstor behind, but I think I can try.
There are some situations where having ready questers is good, too.
That's true. Not exhausted, not taking damage or other terrible things.
Mm-hmm.
Or being able to exhaust for some other terrible effect.
Yeah. I feel like there were a couple of those in the attack on Dol Guldur, but I've sort of blocked out that memory now, so I don't fully remember. Maybe that was a Numenas.
I had an emotional dump on the last podcast, so it's all
another gone. One? Oh. Didn't you do one on Card Talk as well?
Uh-huh.
Emotional dump. It was a double dump.
Took 2, yeah. Attack on Dol Guldur, so scary.
Dump on Dol Guldur.
Dol Guldur dumps on you. Yeah, I don't have a lot else to say. She has no traits to speak of besides Noldor.
Most of those Noldor allies have got that, haven't they? They're just Noldor. That's it. It's all right, isn't it? It's all right.
Yep.
That's a fine verdict for a card. It's all right. It's more fun when they're bad.
It is more fun to blast things. But... All right, Liam, you can have a card now. Sorry.
Yay. Which one is it? Valiant Sword.
Yep. Can Along I just with... say it's going to be another entry in the vanilla weapon section.
Along with the pointy spear and the big round shield. But this one at least has a bit of personality, you know. It's valiant. Right. It's
character rather than just a shape.
So now it's kind of like the angry sphere, or like the, like, you know, the vigilant shield.
There's a shield, right, a round shield from a cycle ago. And I think one of the spore cars is literally called Circular Shield or something like that. I sort of thought, haven't we already had that? Do you know what I mean, Joseph?
Oh, yeah, there's another shield coming out, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I forgot. Weird.
I guess if you were to call it like a Gondorian sword, or if you were to find like a named sword in the book that hasn't been used.
Wouldn't Sword of Gondor work?
Yeah, but like then you kind of probably gotta give it a Gondor trait or something, haven't you? Like,
it's already a card.
can't keep it generic, yeah.
Sword of
Oh yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So the Valiant Sword is a leadership attachment. It costs one. It's an item and a weapon, and it's an attached to a noble hero. Limit one per hero. It's restricted. An attached hero gets plus one attack, plus two attack if your threat is 40 or higher. So, sort of nice way to play into a bit more of the what's the trait when you're above 40? Valor. That's it. Yeah, valor. So, plus two attack for one cost if you're over 40. Seems okay. There's a lot of limits to it, though. Limit one per hero and restricted. It's a bit, seems a bit harsh for just an additional attack, but
and a noble hero.
And a noble as well. Yeah, yeah. I guess. So, what noble heroes are you putting it on?
Boromir, pretty much, right?
And Gildor. I guess you have to have a target in the same pack.
Yeah. Light of Elendil, 40 threat, 4 attack.
Is that your new deck? Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were said Boromir, didn't you? Both
quite good. Boromir doesn't do anything else in a Gondor deck besides boost the attack of everyone else. So you put one of these on, he's attacking for 5. That's not too shabby.
Yeah.
If you're doing the leadership version, I mean, it's good on the tactics version too because he helps you get right up to 40. But
no, it's not too bad. 1 for 1, anyway. That's the same as Dunedain Mark.
Yep. Mm. 1 for 1 is your basic weapon.
Yeah. It's restricted, though. I don't think the mark is.
Oh, it's not. Free in 300's decks, and 300's decks tend to run heroes.
Or, how long ago was it that came out? It feels like years.
We haven't had any new cards for quite a few months with this pandemic.
Sneaky pandemic.
Sneaksies.
Limit one per hero, though, so you can't dual wield. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess you could put it on Legolas as well, maybe.
Gimli, yeah, as well.
Yeah. Obviously the Aragorns, but I don't know. I'm not super feeling this one, to be honest.
It's all right. Just all right.
It's nice to have another weapon in leadership. I mean, every weapon we get not in tactics is good.
Yeah, that's true.
Conditional it is. It's just nice to have more options. So
Imrahil, like maybe.
That. And it's another reason to go for that 40 threat Gondor deck, which is could still use a couple cards, so I think that's good too.
So the only thing about this card, I guess, is how many do you put in your deck? Because if you've got a specific hero in mind for this card, and you know you're planning to go into Valor and mess around with Valor and you're going to have a big hitter, so you're like, oh, this card will work really nicely for him. Well, you're not going to put 3 in your deck, are you? Because you want to see it, because it's going to make your guy 2 stronger, which is going to be important, but they're dead after the first one.
Right. I probably wouldn't put more in my deck than I had targets for.
So just a one-off.
One-off if I'm playing Boromir, Denethor, and Aristor. There could be decks where you could have 2 attackers, or you could be a multiplayer where you could put it on somebody else too. But yeah, I don't see it as a 3 of in most situations.
I was thinking 2, but then I guess does that sort of then show you how unimportant this card is, really, if you're only putting 1 of in a...
No, 1 of doesn't mean necessarily it's not decent or unimportant, but it's just not a... crucial key piece of a deck, so I guess that also translates to unimportant, but not necessarily unhelpful. I'm waffling.
Yeah, got a lot of mileage out of this, considering how vanilla it is, again. I just finished the ice cream, by the way. Sneaky. Nice.
Vanilla ice cream for your... for your valiant sword and your guild.
I've got another tub in the freezer, so... I'm all right for the next 4 hours.
Should we go on to a good card?
Yeah, let's do that.
Is this me? I better check the sheet to make sure.
Thief. It is.
I didn't want to do this one because I didn't want to pronounce it.
Perhaps I should practice for my test.
Yeah.
Although I'll probably get it wrong.
I think I know
the square doesn't come up on that test, because if it does, I'm buggered.
Oh, yeah, the Stone of Elosterion.
Got it wrong. Sorry. Try again.
Oh, Elosterion. I don't know how to do it right. I don't know how to do it wrong. I'm pretty sure. Right. This is another guarded attachment, which is always intriguing to see. Unique lore guarded attachment, Stone of Elosterion. It's an artifact and item. It's guarded by a location only, which is nice. I like that. It's restricted, and it attached to a hero. Any hero attached hero gets +2 willpower. You draw one additional card during the resource phase. Best guarded attachment ever?
Probably.
Yeah. That's two incredible abilities.
Seems good.
And it's a location one too, which, well, I was about to say nobody cares about it, but I'm wrong. I am wrong by that, but it's potentially easier to get rid of the location if you have teched for that.
Yeah, but you do have to have teched for it, because the thing with the location ones as opposed to the enemy one is that if I'm thinking multiplayer here, but if you get it on a location, most of the time you've got to deal with the enemy. So if it goes on an enemy, you're going to have to probably fight that enemy at some point and kill them, and you'll get your attack. If it goes on a location, it could go on a unimportant location, or just one that's going to sit in a staging area because you've got more important stuff to deal with, because you've teched for it, you can only travel and explore one location a turn. So it can get stuck in multiplayer, I find, sometimes.
That's why I'd be tempted to make sure you're running some location tech if you also run this, because it's so good. You don't want to waste a card and a resource on it and to mess up the team. So why not? I mean, it's something like Aragorn and Glorfindel, you're going to run Azeroth probably, and then you might slot Heirs of Arendil in a multiplayer setting. And then if you do play this, which you'll want to, then you can blow it up straight away.
You could also just refuse to keep playing if you don't go and explore that location as a group. That's also an option.
I've never seen that.
Sit at the table. I'm going to hold my breath until we explore this location, and I'm not afraid to do it.
You're going to suicide over the Stone of Elosterion.
For +2 willpower and drawing an additional card. I'm not saying I'll suicide, but I'll go purple for it.
There's a new ranking system for guarded cards. What color are you willing to go? I think Bilbo Baggins plus another hero.
Right. This card is literally better than Bilbo Baggins. It's 2 willpower and a card. Bilbo is 9 threat and 1 willpower and a card.
And you have to give 3 of those cards away in multiplayer too.
That's right. He's generous as well. Ugh.
I love the art too. It's like a really well-crafted chess piece or something.
Yeah, what is it? It's like, is it like a plinth? With a
palantir, yeah. Yeah, this pack is actually very themed. This palantir, it was... basically at the Grey Havens with Círdan guarding it. And the elves would make pilgrimages to see it, to look at the stone, in order to catch a glimpse of Varda, it says on Tolkien Gateway. And when Frodo, Sam, and Pippin met Gildor in the woods in Fellowship of the Ring, they were just returning from a trip to see the stone, probably with a wandering exile, too.
Yeah, maybe that was his entourage.
Mm-hmm. It's called the Elendil Stone, but it couldn't talk to the other 6 stones. Kind of weird. The stone was aligned westwards towards the Master Stone and the Tower of Avalonie along the length of the Straight Road. It could not communicate with the six in Middle-earth. Only Elendil was able to use it to look across the sea to the Undying Lands. Elendil also tried to see the fallen Numenor with the stone, but failed. Probably the best Palantir in the game, too, isn't it?
How many of those are there? One player card, which is neutral?
And then a
Saga one. Yeah. The neutral one is a very build-around card.
Yeah. And the Saga one is kind of one and done. Not too impressive. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting a hold of this and syncing my buddy's games with it.
It's good to have a powerful Palantir as well, because obviously it is like such a powerful artifact in the books.
So the effect on this is very similar to the is comparable to the Necklace of Girion, which is +2 willpower and 1 resource a turn, right? And I would consider it one of the better guarded attachments as well. But for some reason, this looks way better than that. I don't know why. Maybe just because I haven't played it yet.
Is Necklace of Girion location as well?
No, it's not. But it is neutral. It's enemy or location. Looking forward to playing it. Shall we move on? Anything else to say?
Nope. Good card.
Very good card.
Another card for the burglar's turn.
That's right. Every guarded card makes that contract better.
So this next one is my pleasure. And it is well preserved. It is a lore attachment. And it's a master card. Costs 1. Attach to the hero with the one ring. Limit 1 per hero. Attached hero gets +1 hit point. Response. At the beginning of the round, exhaust the one ring and raise your threat by 1 to heal all damage from attached hero. And the artwork is a hobbit who has... looks like he's finished his dinner. Well, there's still some meat on those chicken legs, so maybe he's coming back later.
is he eating in bed as well?
It looks like a baby crib.
That knife is kind of poised in a really weird way as well. Why do you need a knife to do that? Anyway, aside from the weird art, I think it's an interesting card. I can see it going on. No, I was going to say you could put on Treebeard, but you can't because the One Ring's restricted. So yeah, that's probably the best case I could think of, just blown into smithereens. Maybe that Corset hero, the leadership dude.
Glowin?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, this kind of makes the Glowin deck even crazier.
He's got 3 or 4 health to start off with. 4
to start with.
Yeah, so put this on him and he's got 5. And then he'll probably, he's that much safer then from all those undefendeds or little defenses he has to do.
And you can start with it in play, basically, because you can choose a card.
Yeah, 1 threat to gain 3 resources every turn or something. That seems a bit strong.
That deck was already good, and this kind of makes it crazy. Which, I'm a big fan of that deck, because it just feels stupid. Yeah, it is a thing.
Wow.
Yeah, I've seen people play it.
What, you've seen people play this?
No, the Glowin deck.
Oh, yeah, I knew the Glowin deck. I meant, like, has this already been explored to put some Glowin?
I haven't seen anybody play that deck yet, but people have certainly thought of it.
It's not very good on hobbits, is it?
Ironically enough, it's not. It's the 1 hit point. Quite good on hobbits, but the feeling is not.
I mean, hey, give Bilbo 3 hit points, why not, but... that's what Boots of Erebor are for, so
that's right.
I don't need this for that.
It's notable that it's the beginning of the round, so it's not push button healing, it's only at one specific time, and that means you can't use the ring for anything else the whole turn. That's a drawback for sure. My first thought was a Glorfindel, actually. I've built a deck and I've seen other people do similar things where they just build up Glorfindel's hit points and then take everything undefended.
Lord Glorfindel.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be.
Ah. Now he's 6 health with this.
Mm-hmm. And there's pretty good other ways to get health on him. And if you use Spirit Glorfindel, you have that low threat to start with.
Mm-hmm. And Aron's Council.
That's right. It feels, I don't know, I feel a little dirty trying to play it just because it's like so cheap healing. Maybe it's the chicken grease that makes me feel dirty. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Sticky fingers.
It's not as flashy as the attack one, is it?
No.
Strength.
There's not much that's as flashy as that, though, to be fair.
<That's true. laughs>
It seems good. I mean, I don't... It's quite easy to review this pack so far, isn't it?
They've been very straightforward, these cards. Yeah. Like, really, really straightforward. I have to be honest, though, like this isn't my favorite master card by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
Do you think we're done with these now? Is there room for one more? We've got a tactics one, a lore one, a spirit one.
Neutral?
Yeah. There's a leadership one. So
I bet there'll be a one in every pack.
So there you think probably there's going to be six.
Right or wrong at this point. I forget. Was there one in the last pack that got
spoiled? Oh, I don't remember. That pack doesn't exist yet, officially. Was it actually announced by FFG, that pack?
Nope. It just got released somehow, somewhere.
Whoops.
Let me just do a quick search for master traded cards. I'm curious now. How many do we actually have? Sphere cards. Somebody else can talk right now if they want.
Well, I'm trying to think who else would be good to put this on. I was just looking through some of the new allies that can be heroes. But nothing's really standing out to me. Like, who do you want to help survive? Because you need access to lore here to even get this to work. Maybe Bomber, the dwarf? Because he's 5.
That's true.
And he likes chicken. You could have a before and after, like...
So he could have the spirit one to be 3 defense and this one to be 6 health. That would be all right.
That is quite good. 6 health, 3 defense with shadow cancellation and healing.
Not Baragon. What's the leadership chappy? The guy you really like, Erkenbrand. This is a great card for Erkenbrand.
Yeah. Because he already has shadow cancellation built in.
Damages himself. Spirit one.
When he gets on the ropes, he just heals up.
Yeah, that's his main weakness, is when you run out of cancels.
I don't play lore with him very often, but could be done.
Yeah, who would you play with him? I'm not sure. I mean, you could probably just make some
any good... deck as a defender.
Yeah.
So.
You can make some just good stuff deck, couldn't you? And he's your defender now. Yeah. And he'd be really solid because you can give him the hauberk for a nice 4 or 5, and then with this he's 6. I think he'll survive the game with that.
Yeah.
Built-in shadow cancel, 6 health, full healing.
Not too shabby.
I want to play the game now we're talking about this.
So looking at master traded cards, yeah, we'd have one of each sphere plus the events so far. So I think we'll probably see a neutral one, I hope.
Hmm. Azorio, she agrees with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we'll see a neutral one. There's got to be one more.
Let's move on to the Northern Bowmaster.
Okay.
This is a tactics ally, costing 1 Duodenum Ranger. And his stats are 0 willpower, 2 attack, 0 defense, 1 hit point. Sorry about that. His stats are... 0 willpower, 2 attack, 0 defense, 1 hit point. He is ranged, and you cannot play Northern Bowmaster from your hand unless you are engaged with an enemy. He's really cheap. 2 attack, that's pretty sweet. His ability is obviously sort of a little bit counterintuitive to the fact that he's ranged, but if you're playing tactics cards, you're probably more than happy to have a little bit of a Barney with some enemies, and 1 cost for 2 ranged attack. That's really good.
Measures up pretty good compared to the Rohan guy, right?
I think anything measures up pretty good to the Rohan.
Horseback ownership.
that.
Yikes.
Is he 3 for 2?
Yep. Oh. I think the amazing card, it's the Dunedain deck. Obviously, this is not a punishment to be engaged with enemies, and you always are.
Mm.
And you're good at tanking enemies and keeping them engaged. And this is just a way to help your buddies kill enemies.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, though, if... because they've already got that ranged guy that does damage equal to the amount of people you're engaged with. What's his name?
Ornos Bowman. I was going to mention him.
Yeah. Because he's really, really good. and I don't know whether this guy would fit in a deck where you've already got that Bowman, because he just slays everyone once you're engaged with like a whole bunch of people. You can have 3 of them out. He's already got ranged. And that deck is pretty tight for cards as it is. And I wonder if this guy makes it into the deck. I mean, he's really good. I guess you could put him in and have just an even more attacking focused deck. But you've got to be a bit careful with Duodain, because you don't want to get all the
defense.
Yeah, because you don't want to kill all the enemies, because that's where all your buffs are coming from. But it's nice to have range, because you can kill other people's enemies.
Yeah.
But I just wonder if this guy makes it into that deck with the already stellar Bowman that's already there.
Yeah, the question is, do you want to pay 3 for 3 or 4 attack, or do you want to pay 1 for 2 attack?
Although, it's not often paying 3, is it, with...
Right.
Duodain, but yeah.
It's just so easy to play, though. You don't have to see that air of
Valandril or whatever it is.
Right. You don't have to see that before you just drop this guy into play. I don't think I'd put full 3 in, because you have to focus on defense, but if I was running 3 Fornos Bowmans, I think I'd drop 2 and put 2 of these in and keep 1 Fornos and 2 of these.
Trade-off, yeah. Is that? Do you want to be able to play it early game or late game? You know, when do you need it? That's going to be a question.
He's also just fun in that he's a get yourself out of trouble card. If you have an enemy engaged in a generic or a different sort of deck that's not Dunedain focused, then this guy can help you get out of that mess.
Yeah, I think this guy's a lot more splashable than the other Bowman, obviously. This guy will go into like any sort of tactics deck or any card, any deck that's running tactics cards. If you just want 2 ranged attack, yeah, I like this guy.
2 hit points is really low for a Dunedain. I don't know if there's any other Dunedain with that, or 1 hit point rather, but it's fair for 1 cost.
Yeah.
To say one thing that's interesting, which is that it only says you cannot play it from your hand. Nothing's stopping you from putting it into play.
That's
or
true.
Put some else discard pile or something within stand and fight, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be some cheeky plays there. Steal their Bowmaster.
It's a good stand and fight
target
for sure.
1 for 2, arranged.
It's nice.
He's all right, isn't he? Another straightforward card.
Yep.
Kills the Lost Star Edge. Or these cards are just really simple. Probably both.
Yeah, a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B.
We're just racing through here. Let's go to the next one.
This is you, I think.
Reckless Attack. We have a tactics event. It's a doomed event. Doom 2, action. Each player deals 2 damage to an enemy engaged with him.
Yeah, doomed. Is this the same artist who did Nori?
I would venture to say so.
Derp.
Your favorite.
That explains the orc's helmet. It's all right, I think. Am I getting carried away? I only say this because I've played a lot of Saruman, so any doomed event is just a nice little option when he's around.
Yeah, I feel like these doomed events are straight for Saruman.
Mm. 1 card for 2 direct damage. Is that good, Liam? You're the expert on this.
Yeah. I mean, especially because it costs 0, but I mean, that doomed is going to be what makes it a bit trickier to put into a direct damage deck. So I don't think you'll probably be running Saruman if you're just spamming direct damage cards, maybe. But yeah, 1 card for 2 damage, but for everyone, that seems fine.
I think it could be okay with Saruman, but I'm not super excited about it overall.
No, not without Saruman, to be honest. Two for the Wizard's Voice is Doom 3 for 4 attack cancels. Mm-hmm. That can turn the game on its head, but this one, 2 damage is probably not enough to...
2 damage is not going to kill anything unless you've already attacked it.
Yeah, or it's like the Ultra Chud that is not hard to kill anyway.
Yeah, then why?
2 health is so rare now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unless you've been butting them up. Most of these direct damage decks will have like, you know, like Thalin and Argalad and...
Chip, chip, chip.
And this is just a bit more than that. But you're right. It's not great because it's 2 damage for every player, for each enemy engaged with them. But realistically, you don't often, I mean, it's quest dependent, but you don't often have like everyone has one enemy. Everyone has, you know, a single enemy. It's more like, it's more likely that, you know, one person's taking them or a couple of people are taking them. And the other thing as well is that it's, if you are doing that chip in, it's quite good to get all of the enemies on one side, and then you can do like big, big cards where you like sort of blast out the entirety of someone's engaged enemies after chipping them all. And this doesn't really play into that because you'd only get to do it to one, and you still have to pay the 2 tombs.
Yeah, if you're at a 4-player table, one guy has 2 enemies, one guy has 0 enemies, one guy can kill all his enemies easy. You play this, it helps one person.
And
it seems like that would happen basically,
and you're going up 6 threat as a group, 8 threat as a group.
Yeah, so it's nice to have something for Saruman to play with, but it doesn't seem that great besides that. What's the other 3 damage?
3 damage event?
Oh, you mean the Valor Scarred enemy?
Desperate? No, it's not Desperate Defense. Something else, isn't it? Fierce Defense. Fierce Defense.
Fierce Defense, that's right. I'm really
this might be good to have with... if you're playing Saruman, you're playing with someone who's playing direct damage. This might be nice to have.
Mm-hmm. Even just with Thalin, if he damages every enemy that comes off and then you play this after each person engages one, that could be reasonable.
Yeah, 3 health is way more common. 3 and 4 health, I feel.
Yeah, if you have a couple 3 health enemies, 2 health enemy, and then a 4 health enemy, somebody's playing Gadorian Spearman, you could kill everybody before they attacked.
Mm.
So, nice card for Thalin, I guess. They should have put Thalin's face on it instead of this.
Who is it?
He's got really square fingers, like oblong fingers, like... Everything's a right angle on that hand. It's kind of weird. I don't think it is a dwarf. I think it's just a named dwarf. I think it's just like a generic bloke.
Heedless of order. Down, heedless of order, rushed all the dwarves of Dane to his help. So it's just one of Dane's dudes, I guess.
One of Dane's bros.
On a war pig.
I'm not sure that helmet would actually fit in real life. Like, it's like the exact size of his head. How awkward would that be to to wear? Yeah, that art doesn't really fit with the rest of the art of work for the cards. Compare that to, like, Wandering Exile or something. It just looks really different.
Yeah, last couple dwarf cards have been strange.
Should we move on?
Go for it.
All right. It's me. Although this isn't actually me. It's a distant reference. This is Odo Proudfoot. I thought you were going to do it then, Joseph. I thought you were going to chime in.
Proudfoot!
It's 1 willpower, 1 attack, 1 defense. May the dry heaves commence. 2 health. He is a hobbit. And response, after Odo Proudfoot enters play, search the top 5 cards of your deck for a hobbit ally and add it to your hand. Shuffle the other cards back into your deck.
Proudfoot!
Shouting the elderly hobbit from the back of the pavilion. It's the flavor text. Well, Oh, what's that name? Sorry.
That's on Bilbo's birthday, isn't it? Where they're just like shouting their own like surnames. we should do that on more birthdays. just shout your family name.
You can go to
that's not a good review that he's going in the food deck.
He can also go. He can also go into the showing the sole of your feet deck, along with well preserved sneak attack. I think maybe even like hobbit pipe or smoke rings or something. I think we see the sole of someone's foot there as well.
They're remarkably clean, considering that he doesn't wear any shoes.
I was thinking the same thing.
Great critical minds critique feet alike.
Since when do hobbits have elven ears, though? Is that a thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Well preserved has it as well. Little vampire ears. I'd never
know. You've lived your whole life, Liam, without knowing this. Well, what about the card? We haven't actually discussed it. I mean, it's basically a wandering toque with an ability on it. But the thing is, it's only an Entus play ability. So the stats, the stats aren't very good for the moment.
No.
1-1-1. He's going to do one thing and he's going to do it badly. but there is that ability of him replacing himself probably in the mythical Tom Cotton deck. So that's something. And I don't think there's a consistent way to get hobbits back into hand, is there? So you can't really abuse this. It'd be cool if
I could die.
Oh, he could die, yeah. Why not chump him? Deliberately chump him to cycle him off and get another one back. That's not too bad, I suppose. If you do want to chump with him, then he's going to replace himself when he comes out again.
That's the consolation for being unique, really.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really replace himself, does he? He puts the card into your hand, potentially, and you're only looking at five. Like, it's not like, you know, it's not like the elves, though, where you're pulling back like a zero or one cost, two cost card, and you're getting like Legolas for free straight into play or something. Yeah. I don't like him very much. I don't think
he's not impressive, but no hobbit is.
Yeah.
I was not interested pretty much at all until I saw a spoiler coming up, which I won't talk specifically about, but I think the hobbit deck has help on the way, which makes this guy more palatable, but still not gonna eat the core just like him.
It's also
rind there as he's left as well.
It's also a bit weird to have a like search or a fetch ability on a unique card. That's kind of bizarre. Like, why? Like, you'd want to do that three times.
Guess you have to kill him.
Yeah, you can take pleasure in killing them at least.
Feel good about it.
Yeah. It's another all right card.
Yep, not impressive, but all right. At least he has one of everything instead of
none of everything.
zero of anything. He can do something. He can do anything, even though it's not very good.
What glowing review that is. Should have eaten his core, shouldn't he? Like a man. Man up, Odo. Get that core down, you boy. You might get to attack.
Probably just gives him another hit. Imagine
like
that.
That elf chick. Come on. You can...
Yeah. Who would win in a fight between Odo and the elf chick? If she's got Lords of the Eldar that turn, she can kill him.
There is a bizarre thing in the background as well. There's like a guy that's kicking something near his foot. It looks like his leg is like inverted.
I think two people playing ball or something.
Where's his kneecap? I like to imagine that he's not in the background and it's actually just a dude sat on his foot.
If that's one person, he is a broken person. Obviously at the birthday party, he says. Bilbo's cousin, that's who it is.
Udo.
You know, if there was a fight between this guy and the female elf, he could chip her down over two turns with his one attack.
That's right. She has zero defense. This guy has one foot up on her.
But she also kills him in two turns, so it's whoever gets the drop on them.
Yeah.
Fight. I can't imagine Odo getting the drop on her. I mean, he's not even stood up.
And if you did, it'd probably be too full of food to really.
Yeah. Too busy shouting proud feet.
Messenger of the king on this guy, yes or no?
No, he's 5 threat for a. I'd rather do Bilbo, actually. By far.
He's terrible for that.
Get your extra card at the beginning of the game.
Could get Rosie, but then you could just run Messenger of the King Rosie instead of this, so all good.
Not super excited about Spirit, the Hobbit deck. It seems like Spirit is one of the probably the best sphere to leave out so far in my testing of it. Maybe I'm wrong. You want tactics to kill things, you want leadership so you can have Rosie, and you want lore so you can draw cards, but Spirit is optional.
It's interesting that their surname is probably one of the few surnames that when you make it plural, it changes the spelling completely. So the card is Odo Proudfoot, and the quote is Proudfeet. Maybe that's just me. That's a bit weird.
I think that was the joke in defiantly yelling Proudfeet as a challenge. Segue.
Oh, good segue. Hmm. Not my card, though.
Good segue. Defiant Challenge is a event for Spirit. It's 0 cost, and it's doomed. So another card for Saruman. Action. Each player may ready a character he controls. Pretty good in a Saruman deck, to be honest.
Yeah, I think so.
But I don't think you'd put it in any other deck.
It is a nice get out of trouble card.
Yeah. For a 4 player, could be.
Yeah, I suppose readying 4 potentially like heroes, but you can do allies as well, which is nice.
Yeah. Getting maximum value out of for every player if they're gonna raise their threat, right? But I feel like that's not too hard. Either you need an attacker or a defender, or you have a utility ally like Master of the Forge or something that you could, or a healer. Something that you can take advantage of.
Mm.
If you're playing Saruman, you'll get 2 readies out of this as well, which that's is really right. Good.
Yeah, that's true. Very good in this Saruman deck, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like how they're making the Doom cards affect every player, so if everyone has to raise a threat, everyone gets something.
Yeah, that's true. That's a nice little touch, actually. It's a lot more palatable to put your threat out when you get something as well, isn't it?
Yeah, rather than Grima just dooming everybody for one player's benefit.
Sounds like a fresh glass being poured there.
Sharpen the mind for the upcoming Riddles in the Dark.
Ooh. Sharpen, not soften, huh?
Mm-hmm. That was sarcastic.
Well, could this be the fastest card review ever? Because is there anything else to say about this? Seriously.
Yeah, there's really not much. You either attack or you defend, or you use a utility ally, and it's okay.
Yeah, I just don't know what else to say about it. It's all right.
All of the cards so far have just been like super like to the point. Like, there's no double actions. There's no like weird like
just
bizarre tricks. Yeah, yeah. The last one.
Yeah.
The last one is where the next half an hour is spent. Right.
Next 2, probably. Should we move on to the next one then?
Sure. I don't have anything else to say about this.
No.
It's a bit of a trick to coordinate, but okay. Helm of Secrecy. Is this me again? Nope, it's you.
Yep.
Yeah, it is me. Helm of Secrecy. This is a crazy one. Neutral, 4 cost event. Limit 1 per deck. Not very many cards have that. Action. Choose a hero you control and discard all tokens from it. Select a different non-Fellowship, non-Baggins hero from your collection with a threat cost less than or equal to the chosen hero. Swap those heroes, moving all eligible attachments and damage tokens to the hero from your collection.
What?
What?
Transmogrify.
Bazinga!
It's like, it's that artwork as well. It's like Scooby-Doo or something. And it's like, it was me all along, Gildor.
It It's weird how an event has gone item's name.
Yeah.
I wonder.
And
if
also, is
I am no man. Being,
yeah, I was thinking that because that looks like.
Eowyn.
Eowyn. Yeah. Not being very secret at the moment, obviously, in that card up. But it's me.
Yes.
Surprise.
Helm of former secrecy.
Yeah. But so you keep the, let me just get this right. So you move all eligible attachments, which is interesting. So obviously you could lose some attachments if they're not eligible. You got to keep the damage, which is also quite interesting because you obviously don't want to pick a hero with that will die.
Kill it, yeah.
But you don't keep your resources.
So you spend those resources on this card.
On this card, yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting, though. Like, it's hard to think of, you know, this is one for, like, a proper, like, someone that really knows the game really well. Do you know what I mean? Suddenly, you're like, you know what would work really well here is this hero. But you have to pre-plan that. So, yeah. But I guess you can get rid of heroes that have, like, one-off abilities, like maybe Aragorn, Lord Aragorn, something like that.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time of thinking who I want to swap. If I want that hero, I'll take that hero, right?
Mm.
But there has to be some crazy combos, right?
That's, yeah, I guess maybe like Bjorn is another one. But then the reason to swap Bjorn out is because he's got so beaten up that you can't really use him anymore.
Then you dump 9 damage on.
Yeah, you can do that too. Yeah, take it as threat, I guess. But yeah, and also it's like it's not really the type. I guess it's limit 1 per deck. But I was going to say it doesn't really feel like the type of card that you just throw in there because you're like, oh, if something happens, I've got my whole collection. I could just maybe see what happens and suddenly pick. Like I really need ranged attack for some reason or something. Grab Legolas or something like that, but it doesn't really feel, it's too expensive and it's a one of, it feels like if you're not planning for it, it's might be not, it's not something you're going to do. Do you know what I mean? It's not like a toolbox kind of card, even though it is.
What if you swapped Saruman for Lord Aragorn? That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Because you raise your threat a bunch, you can't put it back down more than one at a time, but then you just get rid of Saruman. Drop your threat back down. That'd be fun.
Yeah. It's a crazy card. It's a proper thinker, isn't it?
But the limit 1 per deck means it's hard to find. You've got to have a way to find it if you really plan on it. And the 4 cost means you really need to have a reason to do it. Mm. You have to make this more worthwhile than playing 4 cost worth of other cards.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's any situations where you'd want to swap one hero for another one in the late game. Like there's some reason to get pick one hero to get you through like early game, like Bjorn, and then swap it out for something else at the end. But you don't want to swap 9 Bjorn, damage, as you said.
Combo, yeah.
No, it is, because he'll just murder whoever's coming in. So you probably don't want that.
You could set up the murder though. Like you could have you could have like Landreville or something like that. Like, you know, you could have a plan for when that murder happens, like some way of.
Then you have an 8 cost hero.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe one version of Dane Ironfoot for the other, but I don't know. Start with the defendy one and end with the purple one.
Hmm.
Could be, but you have to plan for that resource change too if you're going to do something like that.
Yeah, you do.
Tactics Eowyn is obviously a really good target for it, which is really a thematic home run because she starts at 6 threat and then you can trade her up for a 9 threat hero. You don't have to trigger her ability if you don't want.
The best one, isn't
that? Seems like it.
And you can just trade her out for
her for any 9 cost hero. It doesn't have to be her spirit version, but
Yeah, that's very cool.
Aristor, if you want to kick him out so you can hold some cards in hand, or vice versa, you could kick out whoever you had and get Aristor to boost up your hand. But the 4 cost means you really need to want to do it.
Mm. Maybe Denethor. You get your resources at the start. But he's quite a good, solid dude, though. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Swap him for Sam Gamgee so he can quest instead. Bomber. Swap him for Falco and go down by 7 after.
Bomber's not terrible, actually, because obviously you get 5 straight away, you get to 5 dwarves straight away, and then then sack him off when you've got a whole army of dwarves.
Belly of secrecy.
Or you could start with a Mark of the King and bring in Smeagol with the helm.
I don't think it works with Mark of the King because they don't have any threat cost.
Really? Wouldn't they have a threat cost? It doesn't say printed. It just says threat cost.
It doesn't say threat cost. It says raise your threat by their combination of stats.
I guess there's not really much point in doing it with Smeagol, which just lets you avoid the stinker. That's all I was trying to think.
Uh-huh. It is the best way to get Smeagol into play because you don't get those treacheries.
Pay 4 to mitigate the drawback of your subpar hero.
You could get rid of Mirlan to get...
You could bring her in. You could get rid of someone like, I don't know, like someone bad, like...
Didn't we do a whole episode without mentioning her? Is that why that episode hasn't come out yet?
Yeah, we have a whole thing because it didn't have Mirlan in it. Mirlan is actually an interesting idea because she starts at 5, you get rid of her, and you can get an 8 cost.
Hmm.
If you want to spend 4 precious lore resources to do it.
Maybe Berevor, once you've got your card draw that you need and you've got your deck humming, you could get rid of her. She costs 10 as well. She could get someone pretty good. And all she does is quest for 2 once you finish drawing cards with her.
Also interesting with Falco, you already mentioned it once. My audio cut out for a minute, but he's basically 4, but he has a 7 threat cost. So you can swap him for Frodo. Kind of fun. For some reason.
What about switching around the Beregons? You could bring in Beregon, get a bunch of cheap armor, and then switch him out. But then what's the point? I mean, you pay him 4, you might as well just pay for the armor. Right. At that point.
Yeah.
Apart from to look cool.
Adjust for all those resource
generation
curves and stuff.
Strange card, really, because you probably don't want it early game, do you?
Mm-mm.
You sit there in your hand the whole game.
Otherwise, why not just use the hero you want?
Cool, though.
It is very cool and very different. It's super unique.
Yeah.
Quite like your idea, Liam, which is basically a toolbox. Which hero would help us the most to win this game? And then just go and get them. Just go and get Eowyn. Go and get Tactics Eowyn and kill something.
Desperately need 4 willpower, yeah.
Yeah, that could be the right way to use it.
Need to hit someone, yeah. It is a real thinker of a card, isn't it? Like, really gets you thinking, which is great. It's good card in that respect. I do question how much it's actually going to get played, but
that's okay. It doesn't have to get played a ton, but it's certainly a very interesting option to have.
I would chuck it into any multiplayer deck where I was playing a 13 threat hero, probably. Met with a wall of silence. Only because you can do what you suggested. It's like, I feel like I don't really want a Helm of Secrecy Gandalf because normally he's got lots of toys on him.
Yeah.
Elrond, Saruman, and Treebeard, and Gandalf maybe. That's only 4 heroes, and then every other hero is on the table for this. Who do we want? Go and get them.
Time for Dory.
Exactly.
It's kind of an interesting option to put in a generic take anywhere deck.
Yep.
Although you have to bring all your heroes. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a sideboard your entire collection there.
Have all your just hollow Baron on your phone and just bring up the hero and put your phone where your hero is.
That's true. You do have to. There's so many things to take into account, though. You know, like damage, the resource changing, like.
I'm going to poke at the card a little bit. It says discard all tokens. And then
tells you to keep it down.
So I think it's discard all damage and then move all damages left on it, which is zero. So it's a good deal.
Yeah, that's true.
Fail. Well, should we move on?
To the last one, another thinker.
Keep the snappy reviews coming. I believe this is mine. This is the contract of the pack, and it is the Council of the Wise. You cannot include more than one copy of a card by title in your deck. Response, after you play an event from your hand, choose one. Reduce your threat by one, draw one card, or add one resource to your hero's resource pool. You can only choose each option once per round. Très intéressant, as the French would say.
You're studying for a French test too?
I'm not. And as I read that out loud, do you know what I was thinking? I was thinking, like, would I get points for this if I was reading this correctly? You're supposed to pause at the right moments, you know?
Don't know if you get points for reading writing it correctly. It's strange that it just says add one resource to your hero's resource pool, like you only have one hero or something.
Yeah, I think that made me pause a second. I was like, what's that say? As I was reading it. Because you have to pick a hero, don't you? But it's essentially, it should be add one resource to one of your hero's resource pools.
Or something like that.
So this is basically, I feel like it's encouraging good stuff sort of things. There was a card like this in Game of Thrones, which triggered off of events. And it was a really, really good card. But the restriction of one, the Highlander restriction, you only have one copy of each one, is challenging, I feel. Because the heroes on the card make you want to play Gandalf, Elrond, and Galadriel. But they are heroes who want their attachments.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't feel right. Unless I'm massively wrong there. I mean, you've played it a lot, haven't you, Joseph? Is it good?
I've been working on it. It's strange. The first iteration of a deck I built had too many events, and I actually couldn't... It was hard to get a foothold on the game because I didn't have enough allies. I didn't have enough stats in the board. So I had to take a bunch of events out and put more allies in. And then I wasn't triggering all three of those every turn, which is really fun when you do, if you're reducing your threat and drawing a card and getting a resource. That's like another turn, a turn, which is crazy. Another resource phase and you're keeping your threat static. So if you're doing all those, quite remarkable. But you aren't making any progress in the game either, unless the events are super powerful, but then you don't have enough resources to pay for them. So it takes a lot of wisdom to play.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, it turns itself into a good stuff deck pretty fast. It feels like a Velia deck. You just put all the good allies in there and a bunch of good events and you just pop out whatever comes into hand. And sometimes you play events, not because you necessarily need the effect, but you just want to get that resource or something. There's a resource smoothing effect you can get. I've been playing Gandalf a lot with it, although you have to be careful because Gandalf, the top tech event, if there's an event on top of your deck, it won't trigger this response because it's not from your hand.
So, I think you're playing it wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
As if it was from your hand?
Yeah. So when I made the Dwarven Miners deck, I emailed Caleb and said, when I play a dwarf from the top of the deck, can I trigger Nori? And he said, yeah.
All right. Good. Gandalf's too smart for that. Yeah, that makes sense.
It just got better.
It did. I've been playing Gandalf and then I've been playing a lot of Galadriel as well, but I haven't brought myself to use Elrond yet. I've been playing some not wise hobbit like Falco or something to keep threat, though, which seems silly. But I did notice that C-Stan published a deck with Elrond in it, and it's basically a variation on the Velia deck.
What, with this?
Yeah.
How do you get Velia then?
With word of command and gather information and heed the dream.
One of all the
fetch cards. Yeah. So far, the decks I put together, they haven't felt really inspired because they're just good stuff decks. And well, they're okay. They aren't super intriguing or interesting after you play one. You feel like you've played most of them all. This is certainly not a bad way to play it. I think it has potential for going a lot of different ways that I haven't explored yet. Your choice of spheres, it definitely influences things. Gandalf can smooth that out, but you still need to pick two other primary spheres. It's not the strongest, but it's certainly a whole new way to think about a deck. That was a lot of blather. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting card and will be good for a lot of people that sort of might like to have a really good think about the deck that they're building. Although, by the sounds of it, you kind of just chuck all the good cards in there, so maybe it doesn't require much thinking. But I think you could like tweak your deck quite a lot with it. I do quite like those decks where I think there's enough cards that do sort of similar things that you can make like a good stuff deck where you're like, oh, I've got enough one-off cards that reduce my threat or, you know, cancel effects, whatever it is you're looking for, that you can make it work with just one each of those copies. Or like we were speaking about fetch cards, there's enough one-off fetch cards to still get the consistency you need, even though it's a bunch of different cards, but they're all kind of doing the same thing. But I'll be honest, I can't imagine it's a card that I'm going to play. I don't really sort of see myself playing a deck of bunch of different cards.
It's a labor-intensive deck to build and to play because you have to remember which response you've used all the time. And then you have to draw 50 cards instead of 15 cards from your binder. You have to go and fetch a bunch of different ones.
Yeah. And also, if you're the type of person that plays with physical cards and you like to have a few decks made up, it's going to be pretty annoying as well.
It's going to have cards from all your other decks. What I'm intrigued to do is actually build up a deck with this that focuses on tactics. There's a lot of tactics events, and a lot of them just don't get played. And that intrigues me. Maybe tactics and spirit. Could be a fun combat phase. It's interesting, any combination of heroes, but it does lend itself. It's cool that some of these big, smart people actually work really well with it, like Gandalf.
Yeah, Elrond. Big brains. What about you, Ryan? Does this pique your interest? Are you like salivating at the thought of putting together a deck with this?
I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say no. I'm not. I'm thinking about doing it in the break though. I would say, yeah. I want to try it. This is a card I do want to try. I like deck building challenges, so I do look forward to trying it. Nothing jumps out at me though in terms of what to do. I wonder if there's some killer combo of heroes that is just going to be like the OP deck, but maybe not. You know, sometimes somebody finds one of them, and it just changes your view of a card completely. That would be cool.
Your lot. Here's an example of one I've been working on in the Discord here.
Okay, let's have a look at this. Just rip it to shreds live on the podcast.
So, good stuff deck. I have Gandalf, Eowyn, and Biffer. Comes in at 30 threat. Not bad for a bunch of willpower. Mm-hmm. And then I got 19 events and 25 allies. It might be a bit light on events. I found I was only playing one most turns and then five attachments. But yeah, just a lot of this focuses on spirit and lore. A little bit of leadership in there because Gandalf can play anything. And he'll get Narya eventually, possibly. Arwen, Bilbo, Kaorl, Elfhelm, Aaron, Galen, Settler, Furial, Weaver. Galadrim Weaver is a really fun card in here because you can actually recycle a card and play it twice. Gildor, Gleowine, Glorfindel, Penamarth. So these are just good allies. Gandalf Staff, Narya, Shadowfax, Stuart Gondor, Wizard Pike. I was just playing this deck before we started and played Journey up the Anduin, and I got weighed down on Gandalf after I got his staff and pipe on him, and then they both went away, and I knew I'd never get them back. It was sad.
I hate that treachery so much.
I know.
it makes some events really interesting. Like I have gaining strength in here. You can play it, discard two resources, gain a resource, and then gain another resource from the card effect, from the contract effect. And then I have it on Biffer too. So I actually can get Biffer up to from 2 to 5 resources in one turn. Mm-hmm. And then with Gandalf Staff, a lot of resource manipulation fun you can have here. It makes some do very little event cards worth it, like Late Adventure or something that hardly ever gets played. But in this case, it can be useful, and it also can give you some other nice effect, which makes it worthwhile, maybe.
Well, it could replace itself if nothing else there.
That's right.
Which effect do you choose to use first most of the time?
Early game, I've been taking resources almost every first without fail, pretty much. Just to get more stuff on the table. And then with Gandalf, I don't need the card draw as much because he has so much built-in card draw with that playing off the top of your deck. And then you need some reduction with Gandalf if you start it with that 14 threat. But resource is my favorite. Everybody likes money.
Can you say this entire deck list in one breath?
I can try. Oh, we're good. Okay, I'll come here and guys. Fear you'll kill Adam. We've got no.
I think you've got backtrack in here as well.
I was hoping you would see that. It's a good card. A good stuff deck.
I think you should move on now before my eyes burn out.
Well, tighten your belt is a fun one too. You could play that, get resources, and get another resource. Things like Heed the Dream, you basically can play it for free, or you can draw one card out of 5 and then get the resource back, or you can draw another card after that. Just makes events juicy.
Council of the Juicy, that's quite a different card.
Let's not go there.
Shall we wrap it up by saying it was probably one of the most straightforward packs to review in the history of the game?
Yeah.
Yet we still dragged it out to 1.5 hours.
Pretty short.
Yeah, special talent.
I have to be really honest here. I think this is probably my least favorite pack that we've reviewed for a while. My favorite card in there, though, would probably be the Archer. Bowmaster.
Mine's probably this contract.
It's most interesting. Mine's the one of Alosterian.
Oh, that's probably the most powerful.
That's true. That's
pretty sad about that. And then there's Wandering Exile. I don't know if you're actually that good, but it's inspired me to look into a whole new deck. So I'll be doing that.
That is always good. Well, time for some riddles.
All right, take a quick break and we'll.
Yeah.
Liam will be the master.
Riddle master.
All right, we're back with the riddles in the dark. I just called it that. Liam didn't call it that. But this is his game. He thought up something to do here, and I'll just hand it over to you, Liam. What are we doing?
I've got a couple of riddles here. Some of them are very bad, so I do apologize beforehand. It'd be interesting to see if you actually get any. But the way it works is the riddle is just a really short sentence or two, and it's based either on the card art and or the effect of the card as well. Does that sort of make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. So I was trying to think of a way to do the points, right? First of all, I think we need to have a buzzer, right? You guys need to have a buzzer so that you can buzz in, so you can say a word. I was thinking maybe like Melond for for Ryan.
Make him say it.
Maybe roughage for Joe.
I think he should be saying something more risque, like carrot polisher or something. Cherries and carrots.
Cherries and carrots. That will work. Yeah, I'll do that.
Right, so I'm a cherry. I want to be a cherry.
You're a cherry, yeah.
Cool. I want a buzz for Ryan. Real buzz.
You got? Have you got one?
Do I need to get a real buzzer, do I?
No, I can get... we could say it. Or do you guys have real buzzers to hand? That'd be quite impressive.
What about if I do this? Is this going to be annoying?
Oh, no, I can hear that. I can hear that. You got something, Joe?
Give me 1 second.
I'm trying to tap my teacup. There we go.
A wooga.
I need like one of those shabba horns or something.
A Venice, like the
I have a shofar.
What if it's a character? What if you're a proud feet and I'm something else?
Yeah, yeah.
Proud feet.
Yeah. You should definitely do that. Shouting surnames is a theme for this quiz. So if you're proud feet, what can Ryan be?
I'll be Malond. Go on, then I'll do it.
Just loves to say it. Okay, so I was thinking, if you just get it out right, if you're the first person to get it out right, I was thinking we'll try it with 3 points without any clues, and then I can give, and then I'll give two clues after that if neither of you get it, and they will be like the sphere and the type of card. So leadership might be the first one, and attachment would be the second one, and then minus 1 point for each of those, so you'd only get two if you got it with one clue and one if you got it with both the clues.
Okay,
see how that works. Cool. Yeah,
that felt like a riddle in and of itself, but I think
So let's get some scores on the go. So we've got Team Proudfeet and Team Alond.
<How's that?
laughs> I can hear that.
Sounds like you're science monster to life. What, are you cutting someone's hair? What is that?
What was it? Taser.
It's a free buzzer app, but now it's doing ads. So,
oh, I didn't think of that. Let me try and see what's on the app store.
Okay, so
I'll just be proud of you.
Here's the first one. You ready? So these are all cards, and again, it's just something to do with the picture and or the thing that the card does. So the first one is,
can we use Hollow Bjorn?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
you can use any tools. You can from your mind to your fingers to Google. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. Yeah, to your proud feet.
We're allowed to do research on this.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay. You can have a look at pictures. You can do what you need to do. This is a Google friendly quiz.
That means it's hard.
There's some. I think there's some easy ones, but there are definitely some where I was questioning my own sanity as I was making the rhymes up. But we'll start with a nice, simple one, I think. So this one is a pin cushion, crimson red. A broken sword, a hero dead.
That's proud feet.
Oh, we got a proud feet.
I'm just going to say Boromir.
No, it's not Boromir, but
ultra art version.
You're along the right line.
Can you keep repeating it every so often for
So a pin cushion, crimson red, a broken sword, a hero dead.
I'm still trying to get a little meme board here so I can have a buzzer.
You cannot. What did that say?
He's Pickle Rick.
Pickle Rick.
So would you guys like a clue on this one?
Well, I guess once I have to give Ryan a chance, right?
Yeah, we'll say that.
RingsDB is not loading, so I can't. I'm not going to get any of these. I already called that. So Hero Dead, that's what I want to know. I want to know about Hero Dead. Hero Dead.
So I need to do the artwork. If you've got an answer.
Is it ill fate?
No, it's not ill fate. So it's open to proud feet as well now. A pincushion. Crimson red, a broken sword, a hero dead.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Does this include encounter cards?
No, these are all player cards.
Really
that would be harsh, yeah. I think after you've both had a clue, you've both had a guess, I'm going to give one clue. So we're down to 2 points for this one. I'm going to give you, it's a leadership card.
I have an idea.
Is that a proud feat, Buzz?
Not yet.
Pin cushion, crimson red, a broken sword, a hero dead.
Oh, what was that? That was a monkey farting. Wait, it's gone insane. My app's gone insane. Wait, I'll do one more of these and I'm turning this app off. Here comes something. I don't know what this is going to be. Ready?
How dare you?
Okay, that's me. That's a real one. I think I've got
that's
it.
That's the big brother thing. Go on, Team Alond, what you got?
Valiant Sacrifice.
Hey, nice one. Valiant Sacrifice it was. So you were on the right track to that, Boris. Yeah. So a pin cushion, crimson red, a broken sword, a hero dead, valiant sacrifice.
And that's right. The artwork.
That was mostly the artwork. Obviously, there was no clues to the actual card there apart from artwork. All right, so another one that... do a slightly easier one.
That's good.
So the next one we'll do... Yeah, we'll do this one. So this is just on artwork again, okay? So this one, in mines where Gandalf took flight, ancient glyphs are read by torchlight.
I'm going to try and steal it.
Oh, he's got Team Alond.
Daron's Runes.
Hey, on fire. He said he'd get none. He's got two.
So if you set the expectations out to be low, then you can only exceed them.
I was going to do Risk Some Light. I thought this would...
Oh, that would have been... That's pretty close, actually. Okay, so here's another one. And this one's a mix. So it's artwork and it's card effect. It gives you more than you have. It drove Denethor to despair and Pippin...
Oh, well, Joseph's already said that one today, I think.
Yeah, we have had this one.
Proud feet.
Yes, Team Proud Feet.
Palantir.
It is a Palantir. What's the card name? It gives you more than you have. It drove Denethor to despair and pick him up.
I just focused on what it was, but the card is not that. Yeah, you got it.
Now Milan? I get to steal. Milan comes in with a facial tattooed steal, and she says, gaining strength.
Oh, nice, nice. These point systems might not be working too well, because that puts you on 7 points. Maybe we should do two if you do it without clues, one if you do it with clues. So that puts you on 5 points.
Why are you changing the rules just because I'm winning?
that's a lot.
All good. Let's keep it fair fight.
This one's really left field. I'd be super surprised if you got this one without clues, but here we are. With beauty and grace, I fly in moonlight. Diamonds found in trash will be your delight. I fly in moonlight. Diamonds found in trash will be your delight. There's a bit of both on this one. You got a bit of card text in there and you got a bit of picture in there.
I'm going to give it a go.
Milond?
Is it Elwing's Flight?
Oh, he's on fire.
Oh my God.
That is very impressive. 7. I'm super surprised by that. I put you on 7. Team Proud Feet, come on, we got to be hearing you at the back of
see those feet.
Humble feet. That was well done on that one, man.
Thank you.
I thought that one was tough. Okay, this one's a fun little one. So again, this is a bit of both. So you got a bit of card art and a bit of text in this one. My sacrifice, a muddy ear. With my help, you'll become a seer. My sacrifice, a muddy ear. With my help, you'll become a seer.
What's it called?
My sacrifice, a muddy ear. With my help, you'll become a seer.
Well, I don't know, but I'm going to try this one. Proud feet!
Let's hear it.
I'm going with the Mighty Ear for rumor of from the Earth.
But perfect. Nicely done. Yeah. So the seer bit with my help you become a seer is like future sight, isn't it? Because you get to look at the encounter deck a little bit.
All right.
Okay. Sort of. Loose one on that one. The Mighty Ear, you got it.
Yeah.
Excellent. So the next one. Yeah, this one's difficult, I think. I have to listen to the words on this one. I stride forward on my solo quest, leaving two hidden at my behest. I stride forward on my solo quest, leaving two hidden at my behest.
My.
This is a tough one.
I need to look up some cards a minute. I have an idea.
I stride forward on my solo quest, leaving two hidden at my behest.
Let's see. I feel like I know a card for the first two parts, but not the second part.
Okay. The second part is more to do with the artwork. I stride forward on my solo quest, leaving two hidden at my behest.
Can't be right. That can't be right. I'm going to try it.
He's going for it. Team Alond.
Ever Onward.
Ooh, it is not Ever Onward. Uh-huh. So proud feet, you get a guess, and then there'll be a clue. I stride forward on my solo quest, leaving two hidden at my behest.
Two hidden?
And the second part is more to do with the card art.
Solo quest. I'm going to have a hint too. I forfeit my free guess.
Okay. This is a side quest.
Ooh.
Maland.
This is not the time to forget the name of the card. This is really not the time to forget the name of the card.
I know.
It's called Scout Ahead.
Nicely done.
Oh, I thought you said no.
You got that. So I stride forward. It's Strider doing it. On his solo quest.
The two hobbits hiding behind the log, right?
Yeah.
The minstrels behind the log.
Yeah. Are they minstrels or the hobbits? I assumed it was the two hobbits. Nicely done. That was a difficult one. That was a tricky one. Okay. So, the next one. Above my head, I hold my sword. Ride with me, and victory won't be your only reward.
Oh, sorry, that made me cough because you believe they were minstrels. A drinking tea, it went out my nose. No, they look like little minstrels. Like little pixie people. Sorry. I'm ready again. I missed the clue.
So the clue is, above my head, I hold my sword. Ride with me and victory won't be your only reward.
I'm going to go attempt the full crushing mode.
Yes, let's have it, Team Alond.
Team Alond. Is it Fourth Aerolingus?
No, it is not Fourth Aerolingus. Proudfeet gets a free one. Above my head, I hold my sword. Ride with me, and victory won't be your only reward.
Ride with me? Sword above head makes me think of Veteran Sword Elf, which is one of Ryan's favorites, but I don't know how it relates to anything else, so it can't be that. Right.
An old card.
Old card.
Hang on. That's not a clue,
I got it. Okay. That's not a clue.
It's not a clue. It's
Proud feet. I guess Theodred.
Yeah, nicely done, Theodred. Nice. So the scores on the doors currently are 4 to Team Proudfeet and 8 to Team Alon. Oof. Right. So here's a few more. So the next one is tall, blinded by short. The next enemy we see, we shall thwart. Tall, blinded by short. The next enemy we see, we shall
proud
thwart.
Feet.
Let's hear it.
Expecting mischief.
Ah, oh, nicely done. He is catching up. 6-8. Whew. It's getting close. Getting tense. Okay. The next one's a nice simple one. Just a little one line. A bird in the hand is worth two on the quest. A bird in the hand is worth two on the quest. Another old card. A bird in the hand is worth two on the quest.
I think I have an idea. I'm going to have to do a search here.
He's looking at spirit cards.
Hey, stop it.
Said it.
I was mumbling it. You were supposed to.
Very old card. Very, very famous card as well. It's not an obscure one.
Oh, rats.
It is an attachment.
Oh, my. It's not what I think.
A bird in the hand is worth two on the quest.
Oh, I got it.
Malone.
I'm gagging. I think it's Celebrimbor Stone.
It is indeed. That's a one pointer there. 6-9.
Oh.
So this one's a little bit longer. So I fear not while under threat. When I blow my horn, surrounded by Ungolian spawn, I will rise from their wickedness. I fear not while under threat. When I blow my horn, surrounded by Ungolian spawn, I will rise from their wicked net.
That's got to be a combination of ability and art.
It is. It is indeed. It is indeed. I fear not while under threat. I blow my horn, surrounded by Ungolian spawn. I rise from their wicked net. And this is another. This is another old and famous card.
Okay, I got it. Whatever I say, proud feet.
Yes, proud feet.
Unexpected courage.
Ah, lush, nicely done. Right, let's pull that back. So 8-9. Ooh. So that was, I fear not while under threat, unexpected courage. When I blow my horn surrounded by Ungolian spawn, I think the artwork is he's like in the middle of loads of spiders.
Huge spiders.
Yeah. I will rise from their wicked net. Obviously, unexpected courage ready to. So next one. This one I think is quite difficult. Not a super well-used card, but I've used it before. So the sky darkens, take cover. You've been rocked and must recover. The sky darkens, take cover. You've been rocked and must recover. Eight and nine. Could it be more tense?
I'll try this.
Yeah.
How about self-preservation?
Oh, nicely done. Sneaking into the lead, edging into the lead by point. So the sky darkens, take cover. You've been rocked and must recover. Self-preservation. This is my favorite one. This is my favorite one. Just a nice quick one. Ginger Binger with ring on finger. Ginger Binger with ring on finger. Pure artwork.
I'm looking up Binger. I don't know what that is.
Someone that eats a lot. Oh, someone that eats a lot of food. Ginger Binger with ring on finger.
Oh.
Melond.
Bomber.
No, I did think someone, I thought someone would say that. It's not the one that I've got down. It's pretty close. But it's not Bomber.
No, I've given it away.
I was going to say Descender of Girion, but he doesn't have a ring. But he has a tummy.
Hey, that counts as a guess.
He was right. Is that, are you guessing that one?
I guess I have to because I said it. Sure.
It is not. So it's back open. It's back open for a point now. Ginger Binger, right. Ring on finger, and it is an attachment.
Second breakfast has no rings either. Terrific.
Bomber's a brunette as well, by the way. Ginger Binger of ring on finger, a leadership attachment.
He knows leadership cards.
Okay. Proud feet cram.
Yeah. It's crap.
It's funny art when you look closely out of it. Closely out of it. Squinty shut. And he looks like he's really enjoying that sandwich.
Oh, yeah. He's proper tucking in, isn't he? And he's a proper ginger. Ginger Binger with ring on finger. There's not much to go on for that one, but you did get there in the end. So well done. So it's now currently 11-9 to Proudfeet. After an early start, Melond has begun to wane, and Proudfeet have snuck into the lead. So
Tinkoff ruined it for me, I think. That's the point where don't help. Breathe in tea.
We have five more. Fear not, Team Alon. There are five more to get back into this. So I knew you guys would be happy to hear that as well. So the next one is another nice, simple one. I wear my main hat as I welcome you back. It's a bit of a mix between card ability and card art. Now, I wear my main hat as I welcome you back. It's a difficult one, though, this one, I would say.
Yeah, what's the best place to see all the card art in one place?
I was using Hall of Bjorn, but it's difficult without putting in like attachment or hero or something like that. Okay, I'll give you a clue on this one.
All right.
This is an attachment.
Guess that whittles it down by about a third of the card pool.
More than a third.
You want to get whittled down even more? Do you want to just a nice little one pointer for this one? Yeah, cheeky little one pointer. This is also a neutral attachment for a specific hero. I wear my main hat as I welcome you back.
Wait! How can I?
Looking.
I wear my main hat as I welcome you back. Neutral attachment, and it's for a specific hero.
What?
Well, there's more than one version of it.
No, there's only one version of this attachment, but it goes mainly on one hero. I'm not even sure if you can put it on any other heroes. I wear my main hat as I welcome you back.
Okay. I got a proud feet guess.
Proud feet.
Khalil's headdress?
It is Khalil's headdress. Oh. So main hat, got the lion.
Main hat, get it?
Yeah. Bit of a tricksy one there. And welcoming you back, because obviously that's the ability on it as well. So totally 11. Your deck. So that's 12 for proud feet. So we've got four left. This one is super obscure. Good luck. You got to listen to this one. I draw charcoal for a paycheck. What remains leaves enemies a wreck. This is so obscure. I draw charcoal for a paycheck. What remains leaves your enemies a wreck. Hmm. I draw charcoal for a paycheck.
I'm gonna proud feet.
Ooh, we got a guess. Let's hear it.
Sigil Minor?
No, not Sigil Minor. Close. So we got, it's open up to Team Alund. I draw charcoal for a paycheck. What remains leaves your enemies a wreck.
And Sigil Minor's close.
Well, no, it's not. But it was a good guess. And even just having a slight inclination of what this card might be is a pretty impressive thing. So,
well, I had an idea, but I don't think this is it at all. It's not. Yeah. That makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense. So,
it probably is it then.
Well, rather than forfeit, I'll say hidden cash.
No, not hidden cash. Okay, so this is a tactics attachment.
Okay, quick, look them up.
And it's, I draw charcoal for a paycheck. What remains leaves your enemies a wreck. That second half is more to do with the type of artwork. And the first part is a bit artwork and a bit... ability. I draw charcoal.
Ooh, guess. Yeah. Is it Gondorian Fire?
It is Gondorian Fire. Nicely done. 10 points. So that is, I draw, it's super obscure, but I draw charcoal. It's a dude with a flaming arrow for a paycheck. Obviously, the money that's involved in Gondorian Fire. And what remains leaves your enemies a wreck. There's like a burnt ship, I think, on Gondorian Fire. So well done, Ryan. I'm impressed. So that's a hard one. That was probably the hardest. So we got 12 to Proud Feet, 10 to Milan, everything to play for with three left. So the next one. If I keep harping on and just won't stop, take strength from the fact I'm thinning on top. If I keep harping on and just won't stop, take strength from the fact I'm thinning on top.
Proud feet.
Oh, let's hear it.
Clay wine.
It is clay wine.
Hair.
I've never noticed the hair before. He's like got no hair on the top of his head. Ooh.
So I do have to see.
That hair is
Oh, yeah.
It's bizarre, isn't it? I never noticed it before.
Does right, he also have a little chin beard thing?
Yeah, he's got like some funky. I didn't realize how funky some of the artwork is on this stuff. But yeah. Right, so two left. My lady was once bought a ring by a hobbit. Now I bring my lady a teal goblet. My lady was once bought a ring by a hobbit. Now I bring my lady a teal goblet.
Hobbit and goblet don't really rhyme, but
Hoblet. My lady was once brought a ring by a hobbit. Now I bring my lady a teal goblet.
Maybe.
Milan?
Is it Galadriel's handmaiden?
It is indeed. Yes.
I was on the right track.
Nicely done. Wow. So it is 14-12.
That's very teal.
I hope you've got a tiebreaker question.
I'll have to have a Google for one. It might not be riddle related because they're quite hard to make up on the spot. But we'll potentially do a tiebreaker if it's even. I'll have to think about that whilst you guys think on this one. Yeah, this one's gonna be fingers in the buzzer here. I feel like you guys might have an idea on this one. A sack full of riches discarded on the ground. Exploration will be required before it is found. A sack full of riches. Okay. More proud feet.
Although I don't know if it's riches, I gotta guess ancient Mathem.
It is. Proud feet sneak in from a poor start early, but smashed mid to late game. 16-12. Congratulations, Joseph. Well played.
Proud feet.
Ding, 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 ding. I should have charged in on the mischief one. I knew that one, but I held back for a minute.
Well played, guys. Good fun.
Nice work with the rhymes there.
they're quite fun to think of, but yeah. put them on Facebook to see if anyone gets them on the notes for the show, maybe. Or when the show gets posted. Cool.
That's fun. Nice and lighthearted too.
So this should be an annual event along with the Snogfest.
That's right.
Yeah. We'll get the games on the go. They're actually like not too bad to like, once you start going through the cards, they're not too bad to do actually. Yeah. Yeah. And as long as you can Google what rhymes with Hobbit.
Goblet.
Is there anything else that rhymes with Hobbit?
I don't know. What? Maybe that could have been the tiebreaker.
Audit? I don't think so. Frog bit. I don't know what that is.
Boblet? Cubit? Dibit?
You've got the same thing I have. Lauded. Not sure who came up with these rhymes. Rabbit. No, I don't
rabbit,
buy it.
Rabbit, nah.
Well, that was fun, and a mere 36 minutes.
Ah.
Snappy episode. Nice. Quick, make up a segment.
We need to talk about...
No, we don't.
Every event card in the game and rank them all in order.
Oh. Only if you can read them in one book.
Power and multi-purpose. Yeah.
I could read them all for practice, dictation practice.
There you go. Well, it's fun to have a new pack to look at. Hopefully we'll get that in hand pretty soon and try some new cards. And I don't know what we got on the plate for next episode, but there's always good topics to discuss. I want to get back and talk about the first cycle. That doesn't get too much. Then the very maybe first cycle on nightmare mode too, just as a...
Ooh.
If we could... play through those before recording, that'd be kind of fun.
Why do you want to talk about the first cycle?
I want to talk about all the cycles.
Oh, right.
A re-review.
We talked about a couple cycles, but going back and looking at it after playing all the way to the end of the game is kind of interesting.
There is one question that we didn't actually talk about, which I don't think we can, but I just wondered if you've played the scenario yet for this pack.
I haven't got the pack. It just shipped, or I think it shipped. I got an email from FFG about my payment being expired, so I had to update that. But I know that some people have got it. Card Talk, they had a live playthrough, I think, that I wasn't able to watch. So it's out there, but I haven't got to play it yet.
Supposed to be hard. So anyway.
Yeah, I heard it was quite difficult. It doesn't give you much time to get through it. Pull out your aggro deck, I guess.
Yeah, it's all about discarding, I think. And if you have an empty deck, you lose. And you have to have 40 cards in your deck.
Really? You have to make it 40 cards?
I think it discards a top X until you go down to 40, something like this.
Oh, right.
Or maybe 50. I think it's 40.
Sounds like
so you're really on a hard time.
Dwarf pipe shenanigans.
Yeah, I need some. Well, I think actually you can't shuffle cards, or maybe event cards can't shuffle them back into your deck. There's something
Dwarf
like
pipe
that.
Doesn't shuffle.
Yep.
Wow, that must break a lot of decks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to need to take something specific.
I heard
think,
some
like...
people a little bit upset there was.
Yeah. A little bit. Oof.
Actually, I haven't done very well against the last pack, the Wayne Riders pack.
I haven't got that.
It was quite fun multiplayer, but solo, I was having a difficult time passing all those tests.
But well, there might be another pack to review next time.
Maybe. Yep. Depends on how their release schedule unfolds with the world chaos. Well, let's end it early here and pretend that we know how to make a short episode and come back next month.
Sounds
good. A little behind on editing too, so we need to get cracking on that to get our last episode out.
Yeah.
Pretty close together. Forgot to thank our patrons at the beginning. Thank you everybody who supports us. It helps. And we got a couple new patrons, even another Elrond level patron. So thank you very much, everybody who helps us out. We appreciate it, and we'll be contacting you for rewards as we release this next episode. So look for that in your Patreon inbox. I think that be careful if you get an email for Patreon. If you reply to the email, it goes into the crack of doom and no one ever reads it. So you have to go to Patreon and reply to the message there. You can't reply via email. So if I've been messaging you and you email back, I never get it. I don't know if anybody's doing that, but I haven't heard from some people. And I tried that once, replying to email, and it doesn't tell you it doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
Fail all around.
Yeah. So thank you very much, patrons, and you'll be hearing from us.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next week, month. Thank you for listening.
That's optimistic.
See you
bye-bye.
Later. Bye-bye.
Do I stop it or do I keep it on for bonus content?
Let it roll for a bit.
Ooh, let it roll. Let the good times roll.
I had to go straight to water to keep my mind any semblance of useful for that last one.
I got the hard ones, but the easy ones were the ones I couldn't do, except for Theron's room.
It was a close game in the end.
It was fun.
It's funny how you can have looked at a car for so long, yet never really inspected it properly. Like, I'd never really paid attention to Claire Wine's hairstyle before.
And like with Cram, like, because I thought Bomber was ginger as well, but like, you don't really sort of look at him. You kind of just have like an image of what you think the card is.
Right. Just the shape of it in your head.
Claire Wine looks a bit like Devin Townsend. I don't know if you know who that is, Leo.
Who's that? Devin Townsend.
Devin Townsend.
Oh, the comedian.
No, he's a singer in various metal bands. Devin.
He's totally bald, though, isn't he? Oh, these pictures. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Older ones.
with the weird hair. Yeah.
Is this going to go into Discord? No, it's not. Copy image. This one? Oh, there we go. Glare Wine in a different life.
He actually doesn't like it.